Welcome back to You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. I'm super excited to introduce this week's guest, London-based artist Dirt Flirt. Her music has been described as dirty alt pop, a genre that she's already made entirely her own. We discuss Dirt Flirt's impressive musical background, including playing guitar for Bimini while opening for Muna on their UK tour. Lately, she's already surpassed 70,000 streams for her catchy pop hook, Boyfriend, on Spotify alone. Her new single, Necklace, is out today, so you know what to do right after finishing this episode. Listen to it, duh. Be sure to also check out Dirt Flirt's socials and her curated music playlist that goes alongside this episode, which you can find in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Hey, I'm Dirt Flirt. My actual name is Kit. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm from London, England.
The time difference is pretty wild, but like I couldn't be more excited to have you on.
Yeah, we're making it work.
Yeah, we're totally making it work. Well, sweet. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited. I was listening to your music to wake me up this morning, so it definitely worked. So can you kind of talk about like growing up? What did your relationship with music look like?
I come from quite a musical family, so it's always like music's always been a big part of my life, and I've always sort of been pushed to do music, which is really cool. Or like encouraged to do it. I guess I started like making music when I was maybe like an early teenager, and I discovered bands like
punk. What would you say in terms of like your music now? Like, are those influences still relevant? Have you kind of explored other genres?
I think they're totally still relevant. I think in way more subtle ways. And to be honest, like more in like a live performance way, like I always took a lot of like inspiration from bands like MCR, like Gerard Way, the way he performed. I was like, that's going to be me. I'm going to do that. So like now when I perform, it's very energetic like that.
How would you say like, yeah, I guess for people who don't know, because he does have such a unique style, like, yeah, like how has that translated into your performance style?
I guess it's kind of, it's dramatic and camp.
Yeah.
And a little bit sexy and over the top, but also like hard, like he goes for it and doesn't hold back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like to try and channel that in some way. But sonically, I feel like at some point, I think when I sort of like grew out of my emo phase, I went like headfirst into like a pop phase. And I was like, you know, chart music, bubblegum pop, like hyper pop. And I was like, almost like the stark opposite.
Right.
And now I feel like I've met somewhere in the middle between the two. So some of my music's a little bit more like grungy. Some of it is like the latest single I put out, Boyfriend, is like a big pop tune.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about that. I saw it's already surpassed 50,000 streams on Spotify alone. So that's really amazing. Congrats on that. And
thank you.
That was the one that was waking me up this morning. So
that's
awesome. But I guess So back to like earlier on, we'll get to that for sure. Like what would you say was like your first intro to performing? Like, did you play instruments or were you kind of focused on singing from the start?
I played instruments since I was quite young. Like I said, like I was always encouraged to do that. Right. And then like me and my best mate in school, we started that punk band, and we, you know, we had instruments. We kind of just like thrashed them around and made noise, but
right.
That was what we needed to do at the time. And then after that, I kind of fell into some like session live guitarist jobs. So like at one point I thought maybe I'm going to be a guitarist. That's going to be my career kind of thing. And then it didn't last long because I just felt restricted by it. It just didn't feel creative enough for me. And I was just playing for other people. And I was like, I want to do my own thing.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it must have been cool to be like exposed to sort of that side of the music. But I would imagine, yeah, when you have like that creative bone in your body, it's like you just want to be that person that's calling the shots and
handling the creative process.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. It was definitely like the experience of it, however long, like 2 years I did it, was like life changing. And it showed me like parts of the industry that I would have never had exposure to otherwise. So it was like a huge step to where I am, I guess, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So you grew up in London, you said?
I actually grew up a couple hours away from London in a place called Coventry.
Okay. And like, was there a live music scene there? Did you find like, I know your family's like very musically inclined, but like, and your friend, I suppose, but like, did you, yeah, like, was there sort of like a musical environment that you got to take advantage of?
It has really like rich music history. So like Two Tone and Ska was sort of born out of Coventry.
Oh, interesting.
So bands like The Specials and Selector and bands like that. But since then, it's kind of declined. So when I was, I guess like 10 years ago, when I was starting to sort of try and get onto the live circuit, it was very much just like four boys doing the Arctic Monkeys wannabe thing over and over again. And we'd be put on lineups with these bands and it was like, this is awful. This, I hate this. But we kind of near the city, Birmingham. So we found a little underground punk scene there, but nothing like London at all.
Right, right. And then I'm just not super familiar myself with like the London music scene, but I obviously know it's like a big thing. From London, like, has there been anything that inspired you in terms of like musical influence, or did you ever go to shows out there?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like moving to London was, I moved here originally for university, but it kind of just became like an excuse to be here.
Right.
Because, yeah, the music scene, I feel like it's sort of the only place in the UK with like a booming solid music scene,
right,
and a really like diverse scene as well. I've found over the like past few years it's super like community based. The parts of it that I've experienced, which I really love, and I don't know if that's maybe because like the level that I'm on, the people that I'm sort of surrounded by, but it all feels very community based and kind of tight knit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like all the, there's so many amazing venues here, and like it's just constant. There's something every night, like,
right, right,
which is, yeah, so cool.
It is so cool. And yeah, even thinking like, I mean, I'm like a huge Dua Lipa fan, for example, and she's obviously like pop, but then you get like, that's just like one example of one mainstream genre. Like, I can't even imagine like the amount. Yeah, it's probably similar to New York, where you can just walk down a street and there's like a million clubs with like a different type of band playing at any given moment. But it's so cool that you got to like have that be part of like your story and your creative process.
Yeah.
When you started kind of getting like more of an idea of, you know, you're doing the more session studio stuff, when did you decide like, okay, maybe I should take a stab at like more of the performance side of things?
Honestly, when that work started drying up, I was like, okay, I'm like inevitably just gonna have to go back to like my bar job. So right. I might as well just now fully commit to, I think because over the years I had been brewing and I'd like always wanted to do my own thing, but not like honestly just not had the confidence to do it. So at that point I was like, okay, I'm just going to full send it. Like I have to fully commit to it or it won't work. And I did. And I'm so glad that I did.
That's amazing. That's like so courageous to do that too. Cause it's like, you clearly are resourceful, you know, you kind of, like you're saying, like kind of hit not a dead end, but like you went as far as the road would take you. And then you like pivoted to something that obviously really worked out. And I think that's such a testament to like taking risks in a creative sense, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
So what is your, I guess, like creative process like with your own music? Like, where do you, if you want to come up with a song, like where do you start?
I start usually with concepts and just like abstract ideas. And then either I'll take those to like collaborate with other people. So I'll take them to sessions and be like, this is what I'm thinking and feeling. Shall we use it? Shall we make it into a song? Or I will sort of build up my own song at home and like build up a demo. And yeah, just kind of explore that and mess around. I feel like I really love still just messing around and trying to make like dumb beats. I just see it like, if anything sticks out and I'm like, oh wait, no, that's actually really cool. A lot of the stuff I make is really bad, but I kind of love that.
yeah, like kind of just throwing things against the wall, see what sticks, see what like gets stuck in your head a bit. I think that's really cool. Yeah. What, like, do you have a specific software you use to make beats and stuff?
I use Logic.
Okay, nice. Yes, I've heard good things. I used to dabble, but when I say, like, I'm sure whatever I considered was good was probably, like, the worst thing, like, anyone could have made. But I think it's, and I didn't use Logic, but I think that that's really, it's such a, like, freeing process because, again, like, I would imagine after being in, a bunch of sessions, like, this is where you're calling the shots, you're creating it, and then you get to bring it. You kind of flipped it around, right? Because you're bringing it to people in sessions, like, and, you know, right before that, you were doing kind of the opposite.
Yeah. It's very, yeah, I kind of go back and forth between the two. I think if I get stuck one way of working, then I it doesn't work for me. I have to bounce between the two. But to be honest, always I'm just like, I'm a sucker for good hooks and good melodies.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's my experimentation process. I'm like, just sing to myself in the shower. If there's something that sticks in my head, I'm like, cool, I've got to record that. Doesn't matter if it makes it or not. Like,
right. Yeah, I feel like that's the like, the pop in you, because that's like what pop music is. It's like that's exactly those songs that like are those parts of those songs that like are come to your head when you're in the shower and you're like, wow, I've been singing this for 3 days.
Yeah.
That's so cool though that like you're the creator of like those things, like not just what you hear on the radio, but it's actually coming from like your own creative process. I know that, like, I guess this goes back to before you kind of, or I guess you can tell me, like, when you were doing a little bit of touring as a guitarist, can you talk a little bit about that? And, like, what part of, what stage in your career was that point at?
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky with it. I just finished university, which in itself was a whole mess of an experience because it was, like, COVID and lockdowns and stuff.
Oh, right.
But came out the other side of that in 2022, and I landed a job straight away through like Instagram call out, and it was for this artist Bimini, who's like a UK drag queen, who basically was like, I'm gonna go down the music route, had like all these tunes and just needed a live band, and they wanted queer musicians.
Oh, wow.
And I went and auditioned and it went really well. And then, yeah, from there, for like the rest of that year, sort of into the next year, we just had constant festivals and shows. And like, it was an incredible experience because I was surrounded by this like queer team. And it was, you know, there was a lot of hype around it as well because it was like such a cool arc, the drag queen to musician kind of thing. And we, you know, we went on tour with Muna, who are like my all-time favorite band. So I was like, this, my life has peaked and I'm 21 years old. Like, it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad. But then I started to realize, you know, like, after a while, when there's not so many shows, you realize how dependent you are on other people, right? Like, your work depends on the artist's schedule or whoever you're playing for, right?
Right.
And I didn't like not having that control, I think, as well as the fact that I was like itching to do something creatively myself.
Right.
So it was kind of, I don't know, it was a short-lived like experience, but it was like life-changing.
Right. Right. If anything, it just left you wanting more, it sounds like, which is a great place to be when you're like ready and you were already sounding like you wanted to do that. So it just like kind of catapulted you into that direction even more.
Already.
Did you get to like hang out with Muna and like get to know them?
A little bit. They were at the end of their tour, so they were like exhausted.
Oh, wow.
They were so sweet to us.
Awesome.
Obviously every night they put on the craziest show, and we just watch every night side stage, and we were just like in awe. It was amazing.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I was gonna say, cool. If there's any band that's gonna be tired at the end of their tour, it's gonna be Muna, because the energy they bring out is crazy good. Yeah.
It's so good.
I think there's so much truth to being around strong energy and like just getting inspiration from that. So I'm sure like just seeing them every night must have been, and being on stage, of course, and like performing yourself. But like that combination, I would imagine, was just so inspiring.
That's exactly the word for it.
And super, super cool of like what you're saying with the arc of like the drag queen to the like music. That's, I love that. Like that's such a, I wish they did that more.
it's amazing. And the crowds just like loved it as well. Because it was all about, like, the tunes were sick. They're really good tunes, but it was all about the live show as well.
I almost
wish I could have seen the shows from the crowd, because I just know it would have been like the best time ever.
That's so cool. So yeah, like what were you energy wise and like what were you doing on stage? Just like having a blast? Like were you kind of just doing your own thing, or did you have to like rehearse in a specific way?
It was quite free. We were quite free to sort of bring in our own. In fact, yeah, we were encouraged to bring in our own styles. I think I landed the job because they were looking for the exact sort of style and energy that I had, which I'd learned from like punk scenes, like that just like kind of crazy thrashy guitar style.
That's like such a cool combination.
I thought that was gonna be like, oh, I'm not gonna get this because everyone's gonna be like a really good technical player, and that's probably what they want, which was amazing that it was more than that. But like the band, we became super tight as well, so we used to have our own little like bits in the show where we'd all do our like have our moments together and do the same little moves.
That's so fun.
Stuff. Yeah, it was really cute.
That's also such a like testament to staying authentic, right? Because like if you did what go into that audition doing what you think they wanted to see, like it wouldn't have maybe worked out, but like you stuck to your guns. And like I think there's something just about like the energy and being authentic that like will, no matter what it's like, it will stick with people in a way.
I feel like I've carried that through to Dirt Flirt, the authenticity thing. And also like in the fact, I don't know, the fact that like such a mainstream personality is outwardly like, yeah, I want a queer band specifically.
Right.
I'm not settling for anything less. Like it's more than just like you're qualified kind of thing. Like I've carried that through. I'm like, I don't wanna hire any cis men in my band. Because straight men in my band, because I've seen that constantly, they always get these jobs, and you know they've got jobs that I've gone up for, kind of thing. So I'm like, I realize I don't need to do that. I can curate my own space and environment around my music, provide like opportunities that are not as readily available to other people.
Absolutely, I love that. I think that's such a like not talked about enough issue, or like just not even an issue, it's just like a fact like that, you know, cis men do get more opportunity, more advantage. And I think it's so important to create like a safe space for creativity that and obviously like I always like to say in my, because I always bash men in episodes, so I like to say like not all men but we all know the type we're talking about, and it definitely doesn't always foster like a very like environment that makes you feel safe to be like express yourself really creatively. And
totally,
I'm such a proponent of creating those spaces for people.
Yeah.
So how did you from there, you were kind of left a little high and dry, it sounds like, wanting to do more. How did Dirt Flirt like come to be?
It came to be, I had a bunch of demos I'd sort of been working on, like on the lowdown. And I actually, as soon as I came up with the name Dirtfly, it all just fell into place. It had taken me like a year to come up with a name. And in that whole time, like, I'd just been like, oh, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this is. I don't even know if I can do it. And as soon as I came up with the name, I was like, this is the project. I know exactly what it is. And then from there, I basically built up this song I had called Diesel Skirt, which is my first single. And I like produced it, mixed it, mastered it myself, and put it out within the space of a few months. And to be honest, like, it's a great song. You can sort of hear that it's not professionally worked on, but at the same time, I love that. And I'm really proud of myself for doing that, because it got attention of like producers and people who wanted to work with me.
Oh, wow.
And that's sort of how I like took the next step into it and like really committed to it and working with other people and stuff.
That's really cool. I definitely know what you're talking about. Like the kind of DIY production style, like it stands out for me, at least like when I was listening to it, it feels DIY, but in like a polished way, I guess. Like, I don't know, like I can tell you know what you're doing. It's not me when I'm trying to produce, like, let's
put it that. It has like, it has a certain charm to it. And I feel like, cause it's such a strong song, it holds up anyway.
Which
is really special.
And I can see how coming up with Dirt Flirt encompasses like all the genres that you were talking about. Flirt has that kind of like bubblegum pop, like, association, but Dirt has more of that like punk, rough, gritty side to it, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
Coming up with names is like one of the most impressive things in the creative process. Like,
it's difficult.
Even my podcast name, like, I didn't come up with it, my friend did.
Really? It's cool, I like it.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's the commitment as well, like committing to one idea and being like, this is going to be the name of my project.
Is
like huge.
It's like a scary commitment, but I feel like once you do, it's probably like, and it feels right, like, you know, if it's right, it's right, and you'll like embrace that. That's really cool. So then as you kind of started, like, how, I guess, as an independent artist with your music, like, what was it like to sort of start releasing your own? Did you have any like reservations about releasing, or were you kind of like, how did you put your music out there?
I sort of, I don't know, I guess I knew that because it was so early on and I was basically a nobody, that like I had like the freedom to put out whatever I wanted, which is still scary because you have like your friends and mutuals who are going to see it, and you know, you're going to get some kind of judgment, whatever it is, but like, it just felt really good to put stuff out in like the first place. The last time I'd released music before that was with my old band in like 2019. I missed that feeling as well of like working on something and sharing it, and then it knowing that once you release it, it's not yours anymore. Like, you've handed it over to whatever audience you have or are going to have, kind of thing, which I kind of love. It's a bit of a thrill.
I've never thought about it that way. It is like you're handing it off, which is really vulnerable. But like, also, I imagine it makes you feel really connected to people once it starts like resonating with them and everything like that.
100%. Yeah. It's definitely scary, but rewarding as well.
For sure, for sure. And like validating, because you're like, this is what I want to be doing. And I'm glad it's, you know, it's working on, you're getting something out of it.
And at first, like, I learned quite fast that it's, you know, it's all baby steps. It's going to take a while to gain any sort of traction or anything. So you just have to enjoy like the process in those baby steps.
I think that's so true though. Like, people, you know, I think especially social media has created this like kind of false narrative that like you just post once and you go to bed and the next day you're like an overnight success of like what viral is or whatever. And it's like, there's such a, like, people just want to get to that end goal, but I think there's so much like beauty in the steps in between. And like, especially when it's your, like, you produced it, you wrote it, like, it's such a piece of you. There's something like to appreciate through that whole process.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you find social media has been like a role in your music in any sense?
Yeah, huge. I feel like all my opportunities I've had have come from social media, in music, which is really kind of, it's cool and it's also frustrating because it leaves me sort of in a place of like, well, I have to be on it a lot because otherwise I'm going to miss something.
Yeah, that resonates to me.
If you're like freelance in any way, it's usually that's the case. But in terms of like building an audience, even though it's still like early stages, it's definitely been like vital for that and a really cool tool to bring people together and also share everything, share the vision and share like visuals and photo. I don't know. I love the whole like sharing thing and being able to put out visuals and stuff like that. But it is a toxic cycle. I still haven't figured it out. I've been to therapy about it and I still haven't figured it out.
No, it's ongoing. It really is. I have the same, it's such a love-hate relationship because it's, and I think what it was always meant to be was like a way to connect with people, but like it's just gotten like a little off the like the deep end of crazy in some ways. I do feel like when I want to unplug, I like find myself being like, but I can't because I will feel like disconnected or like, you know, even just like music, I think there's such like, as a listener, there's such a correlation of like social media and community and music. So
yeah,
you find that through social media, but then it's also like, I hate social media. So
yeah,
it's really mind boggling.
It really is.
But yeah, I noticed like, yeah, you definitely have like a very intentional aesthetic with all of like the visuals. It's like, can you talk a little bit about like what it's been like shooting videos and like more of the creative process from like a music video perspective?
Yeah, I have a bit of a background in like videography, I guess. When I was a teenager, I used to, nothing like serious, nothing professional, but I used to make a lot of like short films and like music videos and stupid videos, just like vlogs even, like everything. I just used to film everything. And I kind of, yeah, the before I started Dirt Flirt, those couple years, I kind of lost that. And it just like went hand in hand when I was like, okay, I'm making these songs and I'm going to need videos. Why don't I make them myself, I guess, because that's a skill I have. That's the thing that I used to enjoy so much.
Right.
So my first couple songs, I just put together like really, I don't know. Yeah, the first video, actually, I made it with my girlfriend and my two housemates at the time. And we just made it in like one evening.
Wow.
But you know, it took like, I took weeks before it planning like every little detail and it had, it just, I was like, this has to be so Dirt Flirt, this video, because this is like the introduction. So it's a very like camp, but also visibly sapphic, fun video. Cause I was like, I want this to just be like a sweet, fun journey of a video.
Yeah. This is for Diesel Skirt, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then from there, like other videos, I sort of went down more of a performance route. So like the next two ones I did were just me like performing to the camera, which I thought was fun because like I've done a bunch of shows, but that was all very new. So I was like, I need to show that I can perform as well in other ways.
Right.
And then for Body Count, which was like the single I did before Boyfriend, my friend from school just reached out to me, who I haven't spoken to in years, but he was like, oh, I want to make music videos and we should do something together. We should make one. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's sick.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And he came to London with like, he has like a small crew that he works with, and I brought in, again, like we were talking about the curating your own space thing, like I brought in a bunch of people that I sort of know, and I did like an Instagram call out to bring in crew.
Nice.
And it was just like, we made this incredible video in a day, like, and it looks kind of high budget, and it wasn't at all.
Wow.
But I'm like so surprised we pulled it off. And it was that again, took weeks and weeks of planning the story of it and each shot. Mm-hmm. And like, it's, I just find that stuff so fun. I think some people find it really like irritating and long, but I loved it. And then, yeah, Boyfriend, I wasn't going to do a video for it because I was so scared to put the song out that I just kind of put it off. And it came out and obviously like gained immediate traction, and I was like, okay, you know what, I need to make a video. So the next day, literally an hour, I was like, I want to do a music video where I'm on a BMX and I'm singing into a hairbrush and it's going to be so silly. And yeah, we did it.
That's so cool. Yeah. Like, that's like the best case scenario, to be like, oh, like this is getting popular, I guess I'll make a music video.
Actually, but like, I honestly, the thing with that song is like, I love it to bits, and I always, like, from the moment we wrote it, I was like, this is such a good song. But I was scared that it was like too pop, which is so silly. But I like, you know, I've released songs that are way more like vulnerable before, like lyrically. Right. But this was the scariest one to put out because I was like, is this going to like alienate, like, I guess, fans that I already have? Like, interesting. Yeah.
Do you feel like it did the opposite? Like, as I said before, like, it's almost at 60,000 streams on Spotify alone. And it's been out, what, for like 10 days. It's really, really amazing.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. So that must have been, yeah, once it was released, like, and sort of seeing the response, like, yeah, were you just totally surprised? Did you get like messages from people about it or anything?
Yeah. People have been so lovely about it. Aww. And like, I think maybe it has done the opposite of what I thought it was going to do, because like, I guess it's just quite a universally relatable song. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of on the surface quite a simple hook and concept that I think people resonate with it in that sense. But like the first day it came out, I just convinced myself it had flopped, because like, again, back to social media, my Instagram algorithm wasn't like reaching people when I was posting about it, and I was like, oh my god, no one's seeing this. Like, the streams were not doing well on the first day, which sounds so like shallow, but I was enough to just make me feel really down about it.
Yeah.
And like, then the next morning I woke up and I couldn't look at my phone for like an hour, because I was like, oh, I'm just gonna feel so disappointed and deflated when I look at those numbers again. But I just, so happens that I looked at it and it like shot up, and I was like, oh my god, this is crazy. This is crazy. But yeah, like, people have just been so lovely about it.
That's wild. That must have been like, I just can't, to have that kind of feeling like, oh man, and then it just completely be flipped upside down. And you must have felt like so good about it, especially because, like you're saying, it's such a vulnerable song. Can you talk a little bit about like the meaning behind it?
Yeah, well, the concept of it, I think actually the original like hook of it was, so I was writing it with this writer artist called Vince Kidd, and this producer that I've done most of my songs with, Red Shank. And I think Vince came up with just like the line, like, oh, I'll never be a boyfriend, like just playing around, like, just like, oh, we should, like, boyfriend sounds good, we should use that. And then it just came together, and I was like, oh, this song is about falling for a straight girl, like, I'll never be a boyfriend because I'm a girl.
Like, fair.
Basically, yeah, literally. But like, that thing of like, on a deeper level, people projecting their own things onto you and their own expectations in like relationships and stuff, and like not seeing you for who you are because it suits them. It fits their narrative. Disregarding your experiences and your identity. And I guess above all else, it captures that like bittersweet sort of, you're falling for someone you know you shouldn't be falling for, and it's sad. It's really sad because like you want it to work with that person, but you know it can't because you can't be like your authentic self with them. They don't see you for who you really are, which is like a really sad concept.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is so true. Like, that's regardless of how it resonates, like that's such a, everyone's been through an experience of like unrequited love, and like it could mean anything, but like that is so relatable on such a vulnerable level. And I think like,
yeah,
it's, I just like love, yeah, I like, I think a lot of like pop songs, at least growing up for me, were like all about being with the person you love and like, oh, I can't live without you. But like, I feel like maybe that's where like the angst and like the MCR stuff come in, of like,
yeah,
more of the pain behind it. And that's so much more real to me.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. That's what makes me usually like want to write and have ideas when things are not so straightforward.
Yeah. Wow. That's yeah. And it's amazing that you found like a way to convey that in like an artistic way, you know? And like, for me, yeah, I don't know if I could do that. It's just me, like talking to my therapist, but
yeah, that's an art form in itself.
That's true. That's definitely true. but yeah. And the video is so cool. And like,
thank you.
Yeah, it's really, it must be really rewarding just to get to see like it just like, yeah, resonating. I also think like there's something about like boyfriend, baby, like those words with the B, and you have that other song Body Count. Like, it's just like something hooky about that. Like,
yeah,
for a song.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about the letter B. Yeah. Has drawn me in.
For sure. For sure. So what are you working on now? Like, what are your plans coming up music wise?
I have a single coming out on April 17th, awesome, which is one I'm really excited about. It's a different vibe again, which is,
oh, interesting,
fun. Yeah, with that, I'm sort of, I've got other things to announce, which are still hush hush, but
that's exciting.
Oh yeah, it will be revealed very soon. But yeah, I've got a bunch of like, shows in London coming up over the next couple months, which is exciting.
That is exciting. I was gonna ask, yeah, like how has solo performing been for you?
I've most of the time I do it with this live band that I've like put together. Like, yeah, it worked out really like organically because they were all people that I'd played in other bands with before.
Right.
Which is really sweet. And I love playing with them. It's so fun. But when I, you know, when I've tried to do shows, like no band, just me, it's terrifying. Yeah. It's like so new to me and it's so scary. But
yeah,
I'm like, I have to figure it out now. Like, this is the only time I have to figure that out.
Right. Yeah. That's a good challenge, I guess, to get through. Do you play guitar or anything when you're performing these songs?
I don't, which I think is some kind of like, I built up some kind of resentment to the guitar in a lot of my songs, actually. Like a lot of the guitar sounds are fake guitars. They're like synth guitars. Some of them are real, but so I got like really fixated on like, how can I make guitar sounds without guitars?
We're like, I'm done with you.
yeah. Love, hate relationship with the guitar. But for sure. Playing live is my favorite thing.
That's really cool.
So I feel really, really lucky that I get to do that.
I would imagine also like not performing with a guitar is another level of vulnerability too, because you're not kind of like, not necessarily hiding behind it, but like you don't have that as sort of like another weapon, or like when I play piano and sing a little bit, so like if I hate performing, but if I did, yeah, like I always feel more confident with like piano because I feel like there's less of a draw of attention on me specifically, so I like always give props to people who can just like do that and like sing like,
I do think that's like totally true. It is a bit of a shield,
yeah,
like having an instrument and like, yeah, and also singing, it's almost like you're, I don't know, do you know what, for me, it comes down to having something to do with my hands, which is just the constant thing I think about every day. I'm like, why do I never know what to do with my hands? Like, I'm falling asleep and I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But like, having a guitar, obviously, you always, you know what you have to do, you have to play. And I guess now I'm like, you like learning how to navigate that by either holding a microphone, obviously, but the way you hold it is like really specific, and being able to make that my own thing.
Yeah,
it's vulnerable.
Yeah,
not having anything like that to hide behind, but I'm really, really enjoying it. I think it's what I've always wanted to end up doing, which is cool.
That's what it sounds like. This is also a recurring theme on episodes. It's like listening to people's career paths, and like, there's just when it's you're really what you're meant to do, like it just kind of finds you. Like there's always a path that like leads you to it. And I'm so excited for you that like you're in this new phase and like it's going so well. And like, yeah, it's just, it's like an exciting time in your career, I think.
Yeah, thank you. I'm super excited.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, well, this was super fun. We do have one last question. If you had to create an album title for your music career so far, what would you name it?
I think I would say this is an idea I had for like a project that I've sort of been planning anyway. But I came up with this title that was something like At Your Disposal or something like that, which I didn't end up sticking with, but it has actually stuck with me just in my head. I think I like how kind of dark it sounds, and how also to me it's like something, I guess as a phrase, that's like being at your disposal. It's like you can use me whenever you need me, or I'm here, whatever. I feel like a lot of my music is very like, that's kind of the message. It's like I've been in positions where I'm like, hand myself over to someone. I'm like, you know what, I'm yours, like, you do whatever you want kind of thing, which is self-destructive in itself. But I like that it also is like people can listen to my music in any way they want, and they can use that, like these songs that I put out, they can use them however they want. Like I said, like it's their music now.
I love that.
It's other people's music now. Yeah. And to use, if you hate it and you want to chat shit about it, do it. Like that's how you want to use it. It's at your disposal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. That's such a cool, like, I'm like wrapping my head around it. I'm like, whoa, that's, it's like you're kind of like, yeah, when you originally said it's like self-destructive, but then in this perspective, you're like kind of owning it and like weaponizing it in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, because I think also it goes to show, like, you know, even if people listen to your music, and I doubt there's many, but like, let's say they don't like it, like it sucks for them because they still listen to it and you got streams from it. So,
yeah. Losers.
I love that. That's really good. That's one of my favorite ones I've heard. I can tell you're a creative. Nice. Well, awesome. And lastly, yeah, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I would say you can find me on Instagram at @the_flur. Or you can find me on TikTok at TheFlur. And you can find my music anywhere. Anywhere you want to find it online.
At your disposal.
Find it. It's at your disposal. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was super fun. And yeah, I can't wait to hear your new single out next month.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been so, so fun. Thank you so much. You say, can we leave it? Because you're sweet as peaches. I like you when we're just having fun. I'm never